communications tower sprouting from the centre. Its entire surface was overlaid with spires and towers and battlements, with interlocking complexes of ornately designed buildings, workshops, laboratories, living quarters, energy generators and space docks, with batteries of space cannon projecting from every available surface. Massive, arrogant, invincible, the great complex hovered in space, dwarfing the shattered hulks that drifted around it, dominating its section of space like some enormous Baroque cathedral. There was an eerie, almost mystical quality about it. It seemed to be brooding, waiting. Suddenly, the whole complex seemed to hum with titanic energies. A huge central hatchway irised open, emitting a great pillar of light, so intensely blue as to seem almost solid. The pillar lanced onward and outwards, lancing into the furthest reaches of space. Somewhere in those infinite distances, a shape appeared, trapped in the searching blue beam. A square, blue shape with a flashing light on top and the words "Police Box" inscribed above its door. Turning over and over in the powerful pull of the blue beam, swept downwards like a twig caught in a rushing waterfall, the TARDIS was drawn down and down until it reached the beam's very source and vanished through the hatchway, disappearing into the heart of the space station. The hatchway slid closed. The TARDIS was trapped. And so, of course, was its occupant, that wandering Time Lord known usually as the Doctor. The Doctor emerged from the TARDIS and stood looking around him. He felt puzzled, almost bemused, and he had a profound sensation that something was very, very wrong. At this stage in his lives, in his sixth incarnation, the Doctor was a tall, strongly built man with a slight tendency towards overweight. Beneath the mop of curly hair, the face was round, full-lipped and sensual, with a hint of something cat-like about the eyes. The forehead was broad and high, and the jutting beak that was his nose seemed to pursue the Doctor through most of his incarnations. This Doctor was a solid, powerful figure, exuding confidence and energy, yet with something willful and capricious about him. The extravagant side of his nature was reflected in his costume, which was colourful, to put it mildly. The yellow trousers, vivid enough in themselves, were positively sober compared to a multicoloured coat that might have made Joseph himself feel a pang of envy. Reds, yellows, greens, purples and pinks, all in varying shades and hues, fought savagely for predominance. This quietly tasteful ensemble was finished off with a flowing cravat, a bright red affair with large white spots. Clashing violently with the decor around him, the Doctor stood for a brief moment, lost in thought. A profound sense of wrongness persisted. He ought not to be here. But then, where was here? The Doctor looked around him. He was in a brief, broad corridor, one end empty and featureless, the other leading to a short flight of steps and an imposing door. One swift glance around him, and the Doctor knew effectively where he was. This wasn't one of your blank, metallic, high-tech spaceship, space station, scientific installation type of corridors. The gleaming metallic walls had a rich golden hue, their expanse broken up by ribbed pillars and fussy grills. The steps to the ornately decorated door were surrounded by a riot of castellated ornamentation. Strange, thought the Doctor, how much you could tell about a culture from its taste in decoration. This particular culture was grandiose, pompous, and obsessed with ritual. It was the culture the Doctor knew best in the entire cosmos, that of his fellow Time Lords. He was in Time Lord territory. It wasn't good news. The Doctor's relations with his Time Lord race had been